This is the introduction for Decatur, Part 1.
Hello, this is Atah Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. We begin with our first reading on the front page under the Education heading, Music to Their Ears for Decatur Students Orchestra, a Prelude to Advanced Material. This article is by Valerie Wells. Lola Thompson had planned to play trumpet instead of clarinet. "Really, I wanted to play trumpet, but I was no good at it," said Lola, a seventh grader at Dennis School. "Clarinet wasn't like a second choice or anything. It was tied between them, but I decided I was good at clarinet. I'm very happy with the clarinet." Lola is one of 18 students in the Prelude Orchestra, which meets at Millikan University's Pilling Chapel on Mondays and is led by Alexandra Rodriguez, an adjunct professor of instrumental methods for vocal education majors. She also teaches music at Our Lady of Lourdes School and St. Teresa High School. "It's an orchestra for kids with at least 1 year of playing experience who are interested in playing in an ensemble that will give them a little bit more of a challenge outside their school programs," Rodriguez said. "Students have to audition, and Rodriguez looks at their skills in keeping time, getting a good tone, and ability to play in a group. The hope is that after polishing their skills in the Prelude Orchestra, the students will want to move on to the Decatur Youth Symphony Orchestra, led by Neil Smith, an associate professor in Millikan's School of Music. One way to encourage this is that Rodriguez takes her group to rehearsals with the Youth Symphony to give them experience playing more challenging pieces with a more advanced group. When they audition, we are looking for their ability to learn and play music quickly," Smith said. "Students in the older group have to be ready to play more difficult music with more complicated rhythmic ideas and includes more challenging playing technique. The DYSO generally plays high school level music or above. Last year, when we played Beauty and the Beast for the Park District production, we used the professional parts for the orchestra that were used on Broadway. It was quite a challenge. Because the Prelude Orchestra is new," Smith added, "it's hard to predict how long a student might play in that group before being ready to advance to the Youth Symphony. Of course, that all depends on where they are starting from when they first join us in the Prelude Orchestra," Smith said. "The important thing is that they make consistent improvement as they enjoy making music with other students and develop their overall musicianship. A challenge is what Eva Flores was looking for when she auditioned for the Prelude Orchestra." A sixth grade violinist who attends Dennis, Eva said, "her school orchestra is small and she likes playing with a larger group. I don't want all the attention on me when I'm on stage," she said. Jake Walters chose the baritone for much the same reason Lola chose the clarinet. He tried a few instruments, and that's the one that suited him. "I'm learning how to play new notes and a bunch of different songs," said Jake, a fifth grader at Our Lady of Lourdes. "The orchestra is more advanced than what we do at school. Rodriguez works with the students to improve their abilities, especially playing as a group. We talk about what is our blend, what is our balance," she said. "Are all our instruments singing coherently together, or can we hear one too loudly? Can we hear one not enough? We talk about listening to the ensemble and creating one beautiful blended sound together." And some really great photos here. Looks like quite a few students here in the orchestra. Neil Smith leads rehearsal of the Decatur Youth Symphony at Millikan University. Students in the Prelude Orchestra are given the opportunity to sit in and play more challenging music with the symphony. And we'll go on to the other photo. Beautiful big photo taken from behind one of the students playing the baritone here, sitting on his lap, and it's facing upwards while Alexandra Rodriguez conducts. So Jake Walters, a fifth grader at Our Lady of Lourdes School, plays the baritone during rehearsal for the Prelude Orchestra, led by Alexandra Rodriguez at Millikan University. All right. And focus on education. Have an idea for an education story? Contact Valerie Wells at 217-421-7982 or email vwells@herald-review.com. We move on to Decatur government now. Council okays utility tax rate. Current 4.25% rate continues. Protesters decry cannabis vote. This article is by Annalisa Trofimuk from Decatur. Utility customers will continue to pay a 4.25% tax on natural gas and electricity consumption after Decatur City Council members on Monday decided to end a sunset provision that would have lowered the rate next year. Council members voted 6-0, with an abstention from Councilman David Horn, to remove the sunset language that they had included when voting to increase the tax rate in 2015. If they had not taken any action, the tax rate would have reverted to 1.25% in 2020, a move that would have cost the city millions of dollars. None of us wants to raise taxes, Councilman Pat McDaniel said. We want to keep the services, and it's going to take money to do this. I don't like it, but we have to do this. The tax is collected by utility providers such as Ameren Illinois and paid to the city monthly. Last year, it brought in $4.9 million, more than double the roughly $1.5 million generated from the lower tax rate in 2015. The council always has the choice to sunset something, said Treasurer Greg Zientara, who has warned the council of the upcoming sunset and its consequences in memos with his monthly financial report. Not renewing that tax would cost $3 million minimum to the general fund. The maximum tax rate allowed by state law is 5%. Horn on Monday proposed lowering the tax rate to 4% to help Decatur residents in low-income households and made a motion to postpone the council's vote on the issue to allow them time to consider his proposal. This would be an opportunity for us to reduce this particular tax, he said. Utility taxes disproportionately impact lower-income households, and the Decatur median household income is already lower than the state and national averages. Councilwoman Lisa Gregory questioned why Horn brought the idea to the board during the open session Monday without contacting council members beforehand. The utility tax was among topics that council members discussed during an August financial planning session. Horn said the council still had time to make a decision on lowering the taxes. Zientara said that if the council did so, Ameren would need a 60-day notice, so contractual changes could be made. Nothing that the council had previously discussed. Noting that the council had previously discussed the issue, City Manager Scott Wrighton said an action needed to be taken on the rate so that he could present a balanced budget. Also during the meeting, several residents spoke during public comments about the council's September 30th vote not to allow recreational cannabis dispensaries and related businesses in Decatur. Most of the comments were in favor of allowing a dispensary, while others showed support for the council's decision. Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce President Miranda Rothrock thanked the council members for their vote last week. She said the chamber's board of directors was in support of the council's decision to opt out. We have 978 job openings right here in Decatur and Macon County, and I hear from businesses every day that they cannot find individuals to take those jobs, she said. If they can't find people to fill those jobs, then when it's time for them to grow and expand, I'm afraid Decatur and Macon County will not be on their radar. Six council members voted against allowing the cannabis sales when recreational use becomes legal under state law next year. Horn voted in favor of allowing the dispensaries. Residents who disagreed with the decision also stood outside the Decatur Civic Center before the council meeting in protest. Some are pushing for an advisory referendum that would allow residents to vote on the issue in an upcoming election, although the measure would be non-binding. The council's decision did not reflect what the greater public wanted, said Justin Weaver, founder and co-chair of the Central Illinois Democratic Socialists. We feel like it's been basically for one man to opt out, Howard Buffett. Buffett, a former Macon County sheriff and philanthropist, provided funding for a $70 million drug treatment and social services campus being built in the heart of the city across, near the Wabash Crossing neighborhood. Several council members cited the facility in remarks about why they voted against allowing dispensaries, saying it seemed contradictory to allow cannabis sales while supporting the construction of a multi-facility complex aimed at combating drug addiction. Buffett has said he was opposed to the legalization of recreational marijuana. Macon County Sheriff Tony Brown and Decatur Police Chief Jim Getz also had opposed allowing dispensaries. Most respondents to a Herald and Review online poll have expressed support for cannabis sales. In an answer to the question, should Decatur and Macon County allow recreational cannabis dispensaries, there were 1,084 yes votes, 171 no votes, and 6 undecided as of Monday afternoon. In other business, the council voted 7-0 to authorize annual federal funding to be used for city improvement and neighborhood revitalization projects, such as affordable housing and neighborhood stability. The city this year received $1.5 million in community development block grant and home investment partnership funds, two types of federal grant money that are meant to strengthen communities, stabilize neighborhoods, and assist people with low to moderate income levels. City staff each year prepare an action plan designating how the money will be used. We consciously look at those funds and allocate them to where they will be useful, said Ray Lai, the city's economic and community development director. Wrighton said the amount the city receives changes each year. Horn suggested that city staff clearly indicate how the grant money is used for Decatur's neighborhood revitalization efforts, noting that more than $200,000 in the plan was dedicated to code enforcement. Wrighton agreed to keep the council up to date and noted that funding for the neighborhood work also comes from other sources, including the city's general fund. The council also voted 7-0 to provide Decatur Public Schools School District 61 with high-speed internet access. The district will now be able to use two strands of city fiber, which is connected to a statewide fiber network at Richland Community College. The initial term for the agreement is 20 years with an upfront payment of around $14,000 in addition to a nearly $500 annual maintenance fee. And there we go, Decatur City Government. And we move on to page A2, Group Accepts Holiday Package Donations. This is by the Herald and Review from Decatur. Operation Enduring Support is now accepting donations for Christmas care packages for deployed military members. Items can be dropped off at Grace United Methodist Church at 901 North Main Street in Decatur from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday until November 7th. Suggested donations include protein bars, cheese and cracker packs, beef jerky, individual instant coffee, powdered drink and hot chocolate packages, puzzle books and playing cards, hand and foot warmers, and personal care items, deodorant, toothbrushes and toothpaste, eye drops and lip balm. Also needed are letters from school children and Sunday school children, individually wrapped hard candy, dark, lightweight socks, hanging car deodorizers, cotton swabs and wet wipes, and 2020 calendars. The packages will be mailed December 2nd. Monetary donations are also accepted. Military families can also submit APO/FPO addresses for packages. Call 217-428-5936 or 217-429-5374 or email nicole@decaturgrace.org for more information. We move on to the local and state section on page A3, Defense Attorney Assaulted. This article is by Tony Reed from Decatur. Public defender Scott Reuter suffered a swollen lip Monday after he was assaulted in Macon County Circuit Court by the man he was representing. Judge Jeffrey Geisler had just ruled that defendant Jarius T. Fuller was not fit to stand trial, and Reuter said he had gone over to brief his client, who is held in custody, on where the case stood. "I stepped away after doing that, and he signaled me to come back, like he had another question," said Reuter. "And when I got close enough, he hit me." Fuller was handcuffed, and Reuter said he was struck in the face by a kind of backhand swing that hurt and left him with a slightly swollen upper lip. "I just then quickly stepped back and let the court security guards jump in and grab him, like I knew they would," added the attorney. "They were very quick." Reuter, a former Macon County State's attorney who is running for the post again, said this was the first time in his 35-year law career that he has been physically assaulted by a client. He said he has had death threats and verbal abuse, but no actual attacks. Speaking Monday afternoon, Reuter said he felt fine, but Macon County employee policy obliges him to be checked out by a doctor after being injured while at work. Reiter said he did not think it would be appropriate for him to carry on representing Fuller 33, a client for more than 10 years, but he was not going to press charges. "Nobody has a right to punch me, but I know this gentleman has a history of mental health problems," Reuters said. Charges could be filed by the present state's attorney, Jay Scott, but contacted Monday afternoon, he said he'd only heard a verbal report of the incident so far and hadn't made up his mind. "I don't know enough about it yet," Scott added. "The assistant state's attorney who was in court told me about it, but beyond that, I know nothing unless there is a police investigation." Macon County Sheriff Tony Brown is in charge of court security, but could not be reached for comment Monday. Fuller was back in the Macon County Jail on Monday night. He is pleading not guilty to 4 charges of aggravated battery after he was accused of attacking 2 correctional officers and 2 inmates at the jail in October 2018. Fuller will return to court November 25th for another mental health fitness evaluation. And a really fun picture here of some musicians sitting around in a circle, turning it up. Members of the Ashley Riley Band from left, Joey Hotwick, Kareem Williams, Braun Sheets, and Ashley Ripley, play music Monday at Lock, Stock, and Barrel in Decatur. The band was featured on the radio show Show City Buzz on First Mid Monday with Kevin Braney. Riley describes the band's musical style as dream alternative. Looks like they're having a great time. Let's see. We move on to man faces home invasion charges. This article is by Tony Reed from Decatur. A 37-year-old Decatur man is facing multiple charges after his wife accused him of invading her home and cutting her neck with a knife held to her throat, according to police. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the attack dates to August 8th at a home in the 800 block of South Oakland Avenue, and officers found and arrested the man on Saturday. His 33-year-old wife, who has been married to him for 5 years, told police she had woken up to find the man grabbing her face and menacing her with the knife. She is quoted as saying she had not seen him since June, when he was arrested for a previous domestic battery assault, and a bail condition was that he stayed away from her and her home. She received several lacerations to both sides of her neck. She also received a laceration to her chest approximately 3 inches in length, said Officer Bill Hill, writing in the affidavit. A laceration on her neck appeared deep enough it would leave a scar. The woman's 15-year-old son said he also had been attacked, telling police the man had slammed him into a wall and tried to strangle him, authorities said. He eventually managed to escape and, dressed in only a t-shirt and underwear, ran to a friend's house to call for help. The man was booked on preliminary charges of home invasion, aggravated domestic battery, committing domestic battery while having a prior conviction for the same offense, and violation of bail bond. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Macon County jail records showed the man remained in custody Monday night in lieu of posting $100,000 bail. Prosecutors had asked for $150,000. Conservation District tabs new executive director. This article is by Kennedy Nolan from Macon County. The manager of the Rock Springs Nature Center has been named executive director of the Macon County Conservation District. Richie Wolf will fill the position being vacated by the retiring Paul Marion. Richie Wolf has the experience and ability to lead the Macon County Conservation District, Board President Daryl Parrish said in a statement. The district can expect continued excellence under his direction. Wolf was hired in late 2013 as the Nature Center manager, and he will be the Conservation District's 5th executive director since the organization's creation in 1966. Marion is retiring after 41 years. "I am so honored to be able to continue the great history and legacy of the Macon County Conservation District in promoting the conservation of natural and cultural resources," Wolf said in a statement. "I look forward to many years of service leading this outstanding agency and staff." Deer crossing season arrives. This article is by Mary Wisniewski from the Chicago Tribune. Chicago. It's autumn, and if you're a deer, that means love is in the air. Bucks are running after does around the countryside, and many are chasing the objects of their affection out of the woods and onto the roads. When a deer collides with a car, damage amounts to an average cost of $3,000, making this a potentially costly and scary time of year for motorists and insurance companies. Drivers really need to be aware of their surroundings and circumstances, said Jim Taylor, head of claims customer experience at Farmers Insurance. If you see a sign that says caution deer crossing, it's there for a reason. Of more than 1.9 million animal collision claims reported in the U.S. between July 2018 and June 30, 2019, more than 1.5 million involved deer, according to a report released last week by State Farm Insurance. The study found that Illinois ranked 34th among the 50 states for animal collisions. Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan rank 5th, 7th, and 8th, respectively. So if you take trips into the country to look at the fall colors or have to drive a kid to an out-of-state college, watch out. As you get into late September, we see a bit of a spike in animal losses, and it's mostly from deer, said Jim Glenn, claim field director for the Midwest region for Allstate Insurance, which includes Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Glenn said the problem is mostly in rural areas, but deer are also seen in urban areas along highways, especially in Illinois, where deer have adapted to city and suburban environments. In 2017, deer were involved in 4.8% of crashes on Illinois roads, or 1 in 20, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation. To avoid deer strikes, here are some tips from the insurance experts. Use extra caution and reduce your speed when driving into animal crossing zones, areas known to have large wildlife populations, and places where roads divide agricultural fields from forest areas. Many encounters occur at dawn and dusk. If you're traveling on a road with multiple lanes, try to stay in the center lane, which will provide more time to react to hazards. Be vigilant while you're driving, which means not looking at your cell phone. Wear your seatbelt because collisions can happen no matter how careful you are. All right, we move on to the briefs section here on this page. Long Creek to provide free services for veterans, November 2nd. It's articles from Decatur. Veterans and first responders in Decatur and surrounding communities are eligible for free dental services at Long Creek Dental Care from 8 a.m. to noon, Saturday, November 2nd. During Veterans Free Dentistry Day, free cleanings, fillings, and extractions will be provided at the facility, 3040 South Mount Zion Road in Decatur. Patients will be accepted on a first-come, first-served basis and must bring a valid form of veterans identification. We understand that many veterans and first responders in our community and across the nation haven't been to a dentist for a long period of time, dentist Jacob Coffey said in a statement. This event is a good opportunity for us to share our time and resources with the men and women who have dedicated their lives to our country. For more information, call 217-864-4486 or visit freedomdentistryday.org. Seminar on Criminal Records Expungement Planned, Decatur. A criminal records sealing and expungement seminar is scheduled for 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, November 23rd. The community has the opportunity to learn about criminal records sealing versus expungement, records eligible for assistance, alternative remedies, and information on the Cannabis Control Act. Paralegal Emily Oakes from the Ready to Work Project Land of Lincoln Legal Aid will be the featured speaker at the seminar held at the Urban Resource Center, 902 North Monroe Street. To reserve a spot, call 309-262-4555. The seminar is presented by Mission X Cell, the Greater Decatur Black Chamber of Commerce, the Black Chamber of Commerce of Illinois, and the Land of Lincoln Legal Aid. Police arrest man with sawed-off shotgun, Decatur. A Decatur man is facing preliminary criminal charges over having a sawed-off shotgun. According to a sworn affidavit, a 32-year-old man told officers he was concerned after receiving a text message from a 37-year-old man saying he was considering selling a shotgun with nearly a full box of shells. The suspect later texted, "Will you let me know something, 'cause I need to figure something out or I'm going to have to rob something," the sworn affidavit said. The 37-year-old suspect has 7 prior felony convictions in Macon County, the sworn affidavit said. Around 8:12 p.m. Sunday, 2 police officers arrived to the man's home in the 3200 block of Beth Boulevard. Court documents say the man agreed to speak with police in the hallway and admitted the shotgun in the video was real. A 12-gauge loaded shotgun was found underneath an air mattress in the living room, the document said. An empty tobacco bag in a small kitchen closet contained 10 live shotgun shells, authorities said. The suspect was booked into the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges of unlawful use of a weapon and possession of a weapon by a felon. He is being held in lieu of $75,000. All right, we're back on to the local section, this time on page A8. Well, here's one you don't see very often. Police: man steals home security system. This article is by Tony Reed from Decatur. A Decatur man who stole a home security system from a store and tried to use his mother as a getaway driver was arrested Saturday after police said they caught him driving a stolen car. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said an off-duty officer spotted the 36-year-old man pulling into the lot of Rural King, 1920 South Mount Zion Road. The officer called for backup and the man was arrested at the scene. Police said the car he was driving had been reported stolen in Decatur on September 22nd. In the earlier theft incident involving the man's mother, Decatur police officer Edward Cunningham said the woman had driven the man to Decatur's Farm and Fleet store, 1191 West Southside Drive, on August 14th and had agreed to wait while he went inside. She advised he came running back to the car and put something in the trunk. She said he then got into the car and said something similar to, "Go, go, go," said Cunningham. She said she refused to go and got out of the car with the keys. The man was able to grab the keys away and fled in the car, leaving the woman behind. When the store staff later reviewed surveillance footage, they saw the man walking out with a home security system valued at $300. After his arrest Saturday, the man was booked on preliminary charges of motor vehicle and retail theft and possession of stolen property. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney. He is being held without bond in the Macon County Jail. Griffith announces run for state's attorney, Herald and Review, Monticello. Kelly Griffith, who now serves as general counsel for the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board, said Monday she would run for election to the Piatt County State's Attorney's Office. The office is currently held by Dana Rhodes, who is running for resident circuit judge. Griffith is also a legal instructor at the University of Illinois Police Training Institute and the Macon County Law Enforcement Training Center. She previously served for nearly 9 years as a prosecutor in the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office. She has also worked as a police training specialist at the University of Illinois Police Training Institute and as general counsel for the Illinois Coalition Against Sexual Assault in Springfield. Griffith is a 1993 graduate of the University of Illinois in Champaign and a 1996 graduate of St. Louis University School of Law. As a prosecutor, I handled hundreds of jury trials and thousands of cases, including murder, robbery, home invasion, sexual assault, and sexual abuse, she said in a statement. With almost 23 years of experience in the legal field and handling all types of cases, I feel that I am uniquely qualified to help continue keeping our streets and communities safe. Well, and that has brought us to the end of the first half hour. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 8th, 2019. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.